Hare Krishna. Go beyond sectarianism and non-sectarianism to trans-sectarianism. Many people dislike sectarianism of any kind because it divides people and creates conflicts. And often religion tends to fuel sectarianism. Religion divides people into the good we, the religious we, who are often the chosen people, and the evil they, or the atheistic they, the pagan, non-religious, kafir they. So this sort of division fuels conflicts, and that's why people feel that if there were no religion in the world, then the world would be a much better place. But is it really true that getting rid of religion will free the world from sectarianism? No. Trying to rid the world of religion was one of the defining ideas of a Marxist thought, which dubbed religion as the opium of the masses. Now, religion was declared banned and officially atheism was practiced in USSR and China. And what was the result? The political history of that those countries shows that actually there were still sects. There were people who were the rulers and there were people who were ruled. In principle, the idea was all people are equal. But as a famous political commentator said, all people are equal, but some are more equal than others. The rulers lived privileged lives and they were in a minority. And the ruled, many of them lived, most of them lived deprived lives and they were the vast majority. And eventually the dissatisfaction and the agitation led to a rebellion that caused the collapse of USSR. So the point is that atheism or the rejection of religion did not free the world from sectarianism. For that matter, any ideology will divide into two groups at the very least. Those who are adherents of that ideology and those who are non-adherents. And even atheism, which is the antithesis of religion that supposedly causes sectarianism, even atheism fosters sectarianism of its own kind. Today there are many right-wing fanatical atheists whose goal in life is to extirpate the world, extirpate religion from the world. And they, in a self-congratulatory tone, call themselves as brights. That means the idea is those who are intelligent disbelieve in God. They call themselves as brights. And they place themselves in an elite group. And everybody else is relegated to a lower group, a lower sect, which can be called as the dims. So even atheism leads to sectarianism. So then, if you don't want sectarianism in the world, what is the way to that? It is not non-sectarianism, which is simply a utopia, impossible. But trans-sectarianism. Trans-sectarianism means a school of thought that takes us to a reality that is beyond sects. And it is this transsectarianism which is taught by the Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita right from the beginning focuses on our transcendental non-material essence, that is the soul. Now, whatever historical, geographical, religious, cultural thoughts that come up, they are basically related with the body and the mind. They are products of the bodily and the mental faculties. And when we go beyond the body and the mind, the soul, there is a universality that is transsectarian. And then after talking about the soul, the Gita offers us a process, a universally accessible and a universally intelligible process of yoga, especially bhakti yoga, that enables people to realize the soul and to transport themselves to that spiritual reality where we actually eternally belong. Now someone may say, oh, bhakti yoga is also sectarian process. Yes, it is sectarian in the sense that, okay, there are certain group of people who follow it and some people who don't follow it. But it is non-sectarian in the sense that it addresses the universal longing of the human heart for life and love eternal. This longing has expressed itself in different ways, to different degrees, in different cultures, traditions and thought systems of the world. But it is that same universal longing which is expressed through bhakti. And while some people may consider bhakti as just one sect, some people who observe it may consider it to be one sect, and some people who practice it, if they don't understand the profundity of bhakti and practice it superficially, then even they may consider it to be a sect. But the Bhagavad Gita describes as its success, as the success of spiritual practice, of enlightenment, as a non-sectarian criteria. In 4.34, Bhagavad Gita describes that we should go to a spiritual master, Tattvadarshinaha, one who is seer of the truth, and get knowledge from that person. And then 4.35 describes what is the result of such knowledge. Yajnatva na punarmoham evam yasasi pandava yena bhutanya sheshani rakshasyatmanyathomahi. So Krishna is telling Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that once you get this knowledge, once you become enlightened, na punarmoham, one will not fall into illusion. And what is that illusion? That illusion is the illusion of, one of the illusions within that broad category of illusion is the illusion of sectarianism. And yena bhutanya sheshani, actually by this all living beings one will be able to see as rakshasyatmanya thaumai, we will see everybody as spiritual, and we will see the spiritual connectedness among all living beings, and the spiritual connectedness of all living beings with the supreme spiritual being. And in this way we will, after on enlightenment, attain a transsectarian universal reality. So the Bhagavad Gita, by providing us a process by which we can, by providing us a vision of a transsectarian reality, and by providing us a process for attaining that transsectarian reality, actually offers relief and solace in a world that is torn by sectarianism, not by promoting a utopia of non-sectarianism, but by teaching about a transcendent reality that takes us beyond the material reality which is characterized by all different kinds of sects, and takes us to a spiritual reality where everyone is eternally united in pure eternal love. Thank you. Hare Krishna.